This broadcast is for information purposes only and should not be regarded as a recommendation or an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any securities or other instruments mentioned herein. This broadcast is the opinion of Jordan Kimmel and may not reflect the opinion of Brook Street Securities Corporation. Brook Street, its representatives, and or its clearing firm may make a market or deal as agent and or principal in the securities mentioned in this broadcast or derivatives based thereon. Additional information on securities discussed herein available upon request.
This is Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Profitable Investing is the show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now, here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome, everybody. Welcome back to another segment of Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And let me share with you, we have a dynamite show lined up. We have three separate guests. It's going to be kind of a fast-moving show. I want to share, first of all, we're going to have on Timothy Lutz. Tim is the editor of the Cabot newsletter, Cabot Market Letter. I've been reading this letter, folks, for about 15 years already. He's going to be on talking about the components of his newsletter. We'll talk to Michael Parnas, the author of Rule the Freaking Markets, and now his new book, Power Trading, Power Living. Interesting, high-energy guy. And we're going to talk to another gentleman on a biotech company. First of all, not to take in any of his time, Timothy, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here, Jordan.
Alrighty, and as I said, folks, Timothy is the editor for the Cabot Market Letter. I know that I was reading the letter years ago when his father was the editor. It's one of the, I think, one of the higher selling, but more important, one of the great content newsletters, so I really appreciate you being with us. Let me just start by going into this. You know, I've shared with you previously already, I've been reading it. 4 years, I think one of the most important philosophies that you guys have, I want you, if you could elaborate on it, is what you call, I think, your heritage stocks and about what happens when you let your compounds grow. I read your newsletter for this month last night, and it was a great title. Why don't you get into that whole theory, what you talked about in this newsletter itself?
The title we had this letter, Jordan, was The Power Positive Inaction, which obviously means doing nothing. Sometimes that's the best thing to do. And it's hard these days because people are conditioned to do something all the time, more and more. That's the world we live in. But to get compound interest, compound growth, you have to sit and do nothing from time to time. The heritage stock label we put on that is something we've used for well over a decade. I've been with the letter 18 years, by the way, and my father retired just last year.
Okay.
In that time, we've succeeded in holding stocks like, Home Depot, for example. We owned that for 3 years back in the 90s.
Okay.
And worked out very well. You all know that. American Power Conversion, we owned that for 6 years.
That was one of your higher returns, I believe.
We did well. We owned Amazon for 2 years, sold it in January 2000, worked out pretty well. And all these stocks you could have sold much earlier and been happy, but by holding on for years, you do well. Today, for example, we have XM Satellite Radio. We've had it 2 years now. It's not a strong stock today, but it still has a great future, and so we're being patient with it.
Right. Let me touch on that, and I'll let you add to it if I could. The theory here is, you know, I use my model called magnet stocks. As long as a stock ranks up, we'll continue to hold it. When it no longer ranks up, what we're not talking about is holding a stock forever because you picked it and your ego says to hold it.
Absolutely.
What I think you guys do is you use something that you called your RP line.
Right.
And as long as the RP line, it might be a month, it might be 6 months. If it is 3 years, the results are great. Remind people, tell people what that actually means, and I think that will help them understand what you're doing.
Well, the key, as you imply here, is a stock has to stay healthy. If the stock goes down and tells you you were wrong to buy it in the first place, you get out. You have to listen to the stock and sell when it says sell. Our RP line, which stands for relative performance, looks at the stock relative to the market as a whole. You shouldn't confuse it with relative performance, which is a stock compared to itself previously. That's something else entirely. But
mm-hmm.
by looking at RP compared to the market, you make sure that you buy and stay in the stocks that are beating the market in the long term. Not every day, but in general in the long run. And that's where you make the money, of course.
What I laugh about is being in the business and being in the retail side. Sometimes people mistake a stock for something that has to go up every week or every day. I know your RP line lets the stock breathe, lets you actually compound your money as long as it stays healthy. Doesn't mean it goes up every day, right?
Absolutely. We can tolerate weeks, even months. We used to go 3 months on the downside. Now we're more likely to be tougher on a stock after 2 months of underperformance. But it varies. You have to read the chart and look at the big picture. Look at your whole portfolio, too. You can't have a portfolio full of these stocks that are doing nothing at the same time. And, in fact, subscribers to our letter want action, want short-term profits from time to time. So we have to balance long-term holdings that are taking their time sometimes versus shorter-term hot stocks that are moving up this week in a strong way. And it's a balancing act for everyone. Some of
right.
us are more aggressive short-term. Some are more long-term patient. And we try to serve them all to some extent.
Right. Now listeners, one of the things I think is really important that Tim says, some of these things, he makes a comment, it's easy to just go over. What he talked about is a portfolio. And the whole idea, I think, what your newsletter helps people to do, and the reason I read it, the reason I'm having you on the show, is when you have a single stock that doubles and doubles again, and then doubles again, even if other of your components are not working, your overall performance, what I like to talk about is trying to change people's income brackets, not causing a lot of tax problems. You want to comment on something like that?
Well, we like to think that one stock can make your year, and it often happens for us.
Mm-hmm.
That one stock that doubles, triples again and again, unexpectedly, but just because you're hanging on to it, is the one that can make your year. While you have five dogs doing nothing, you've got one, maybe two stocks that are running away with it. We did that with Taser back in 2004,
mm-hmm.
great stock. And luckily, you know, happily we sold it when it rolled over.
When the RP line failed, right? The
RP line says, hey, Taser's done. It was pretty obvious to everyone, but some people...
right. Some people fall in love and forget, right?
The hardest thing to do is sell a stock, especially after a stock's giving you a profit that big.
Mm-hmm.
You to think. So holding on is hard and selling is hard.
Right.
No way you can't minimize the value of selling properly.
Right. I agree. Let me switch the subject for just a minute. Wall Street likes to talk about long term. You always got to be in it. You always got to be in it long term. It's something I personally don't believe in. I know that you're willing to make fairly dramatic calls on the bull side and the bear side. I know you made one just a couple months ago. Can you share with us, you have a multi approach, a proprietary approach to judging the health of the market. Why don't you spend a few minutes on that? I think it's a critical advantage your newsletter offers.
Sure. We devote one page of our newsletter to market timing. It is important. Some people don't love the charts because it is a bit technical. But it does get us in a big way. We're happy to get fully invested aggressively when we think the market's strong and heading up. And we're happy to get more than 3/4 in cash when we think the market's going against us. We've done that once or twice a year in general. The indicator you're talking about, we call the 2-second indicator. And these are not secret. We explain how they work in our newsletter. The 2-second, every day you look at it, you open the New York Times, which publishes the number of stocks that hit new lows the day before. Yesterday the number was 20, well, hang on. The number was 25 yesterday, stocks
mm-hmm.
hit new lows on the New York Exchange. And that's a good number. We worry a little when the number is greater than 40. That's the simple way to look at it. So we call this a healthy market today. In general, we think actually we're in a correction now. So we're not quite fully invested, but we're nearly fully invested, and we're waiting for the correction to end in the days or weeks ahead. And time will tell. But this two-second indicator, which everyone can use and people like to use because it's simple, we developed through years of research looking back at something like 70 years of market data. And surprisingly, it works over the decades, even though there are more stocks out there now, even though there's more derivatives. The fact is, it's kind of a look at the internals of the market, and it's sort of an early warning. It's sort of the canary in the coal mine factor that shows you when somewhere something's breaking down and more than 40 stocks are hitting new lows. It doesn't matter what sector they're in. They might be retail or banking or insurance or defense. It doesn't matter. So we see it hitting 40 back on Tuesday of this week, but then drying up right afterwards. And to us, that's healthy, although not robust.
Okay. Let me share with you, you know, I, again, being a long-time reader, and this is a very easy statistic to keep track of in my own mind, if I could be so bold not to interfere with your model, but one of the things, the only sector that I do not count when I look at that indicator, frankly, is bond funds. And there's a whole lot of bond funds that were making new lows a while back, and I look at them, and I looked at the new lows, and so a lot of them were bond funds. I'm sure, again, like any technical indicator you use, you have to have a certain amount of judgment and understanding on how they work.
Oh, absolutely. There's no indicator is perfect all the time. And, in fact, this one didn't work 99 through 02 because we were in such a mania and then a bear market. And so we actually discontinued it for a couple of years. We're bringing it back now, and it does work now. And you're right about the bond funds. They do occasionally throw a monkey wrench into it. That's why you use a stable of indicators. We use four or five major ones.
Let me make one comment. I think it's very important, though. Despite the fact that the NASDAQ ran up like it did in late 99, this 40 low indicator, I was actually interested in it because if you weren't in the select group of stocks, the market, in fact, was unhealthy. It was giving a clear warning. And even though you're right, the advantage I believe you may have had, Tim, is because you follow this RP line, you're only going to be in a dozen stocks at a time, and you were in the ones going up. But your indicator was giving a sign that the market wasn't, in fact, as healthy as it appeared on the outside and would have kept people on their toes. So let me share with you, you might not have felt it was working. I think it was keeping people on their toes, and I think that's a great thing.
Right.
Let me do this. Because we're going to run out of time in just a couple minutes. We only got to really touch on a few things. If I could, let me just throw the floor open to you, Tim. I want to just share again, this is not a tout or an advertisement for Tim's newsletter. I read it. I think it's excellent. Otherwise, I wouldn't have invited Tim on the show. If you could, maybe end it by sharing one maybe mistake investors make or one thing you want to just share out of your own, and please give our listeners some contact information where they can either look into your newsletter. I don't know if you offer a sample, but let me give you the floor.
Okay. You can get a free trial. Just try us out. Go to Cabot.net. That's Cabot.net. And my final point would be that the biggest mistake investors make, especially beginning investors, is holding losses. They don't know how to sell quickly and get out of losers. They believe what they bought is still a good company. And that may be true, but that doesn't matter. If the stock tells you you're losing money, you should get out and put the money someplace where it gets treated better. That's my strongest message to subscribers again and again.
Don't forget to cut your losses.
Absolutely.
Okay, and the converse, which I get from you guys, is don't be afraid to let those winners run.
Right.
Well, Tim, listen, let me thank you for coming on. Let me wish you a great 4th of July. You have an avid, interested reader of your newsletter from this end. We appreciate you joining us and sharing your information.
Hey, thank you, Jordan. It's been a pleasure.
All righty. Folks, you are listening to Voice America Business. I am Jordan Kimmel. We'll be right back with more profitable investing after this quick break.
At At the Magnet Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now and never make a bad investment again. 1-973-895-4444. The Magnet Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On Managing Technology the Right Way, we'll talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its associated risks. Heard every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Sun Jogal, the host of Managing Technology the Right Way, will interview business leaders and other experts that have shaped the way we use technology. If you want to keep up with the changing world of technology, listen to Managing Technology the Right Way with Sun Jogal every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Achieve total wealth management. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern on Business America Radio. Three-Dimensional Wealth is a show dedicated to teaching you a values-based approach to comprehensive total wealth management through practical strategies and expert advice. Take your first step down the road of financial independence. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
What stock should I buy?
When is it time to sell?
Where do I turn for honest advice on my portfolio?
For the answers to these questions, tune in to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Oliver, Greg, and their guests will discuss the daily going-ons of Wall Street, as well as give you tips on how to identify the hottest sectors and trends in the market. Improve your portfolio. Listen to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra. Broadcast live on Business America Radio every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 1-888-766-6828. Once again, that number is 1-888-766-6828. Let's get back to another segment of Profitable Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everybody, to another segment of Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. It is now an absolute treat to bring on a fellow New Yorker, a gentleman named Michael Parnes. Michael, welcome on the show.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. And, folks, just a brief introduction. Michael wrote a book with serious attitude a few years ago called Rule the Freaking Markets. Very, very successful, not only book, but career and personal trading wealth created from his own methodologies, which we'll get into. And he has a new book out called Power Trading, Power Living. And first of all, Mike, let me just let you come right on and talk about maybe the two different books, and I know even though the one's more recent than the other, why don't you talk about both of them for a couple minutes and what the differences between them are?
Okay. Yeah, Rule the Freaking Markets, or Rule the Freaking Markets, as we like to call it in Brooklyn, is a book that really was and is meant to deal with the psychology of trading, I think to kind of lay the groundwork so that people get in the right mindset. You know, for me, that's kind of like a take charge and take control kind of attitude. For a lot of people, it's just kind of getting in the frame of a positive frame of mind so that you can succeed, whether it's in the stock market or anything else. If you don't have a winning attitude, so to speak, you're not going to succeed. And it also really touches on a lot of quote-unquote newbie issues, using stops, you know, how to protect profits, how to cut your losses before they get out of hand, which a lot of people, unfortunately, I think don't adhere to. And Power Trading, Power Living, I wanted to write a book that kind of, you know, took it to the next level. And Power Trading, Power Living has a lot of very explicit and, you know, profitable trends that I've made millions of dollars with, that my clients have made a lot of money with. So it's more like point for point, actual trends, actual trades that we've made, more examples. And then it also deals with the living aspect in terms of, you know, trading or investing. You know, you do spend a lot of time sitting in a chair, particularly as a trader. And, you know, I have a lot of people writing in saying, you know, they're making money, but they're not feeling that great. They spend too much time sitting in front of the computer. So it really deals with how to kind of integrate trading and investing into your life to make it more, you know, make you a more whole, complete person and not just somebody who's sitting there. You're making money, but what good is it if you're, you know, your health is failing and you're gaining weight and you're not living a whole, complete life. So it kind of deals with both those things.
Great. And let me just share with the folks who haven't read your first book, I really think they should. Yeah, I know you had, you know, kind of a rough and tumble background. A lot of people who made a lot of money would sit right back and just kind of, you know, live the good life itself. I know, number one, you've given a lot back already. I appreciate the fact that you want to, you know, help people continue to do, improve their life. So, you know, I think that really, and you could talk about it, what motivated you, instead of just spending your money on your own, what actually took you to the next level, made you really want to do this?
Well, when I first started trading, you know, it was motivated out of pain and anger and suffering, because I had finally in my life made a little money, and then it sort watched it all evaporate by giving it, you know, control over to a broker. You know, the broker made me broke, and that really happened. So for me, and you know, when I made a lot of money and I got started to pay attention to what I was saying, you know, and ask a lot of questions. At first it was like, yeah, you know, I'm happy to answer questions and help anybody I can. But it got to the point where there was just so many people asking so many questions that I had to make a decision. Either I was going to continue to just trade my own account and live in a vacuum, or I was going to, you know, maybe take a step back from my own trading a little bit and offer to help some other people kind of come along for the financial future security ride with me, and still obviously still make money at it. I mean, I'm altruistic, I think, but I'm not, you know, I have to make a living too. So that kind of was what motivated me with TrendFund.com and with the books. You know, I mean, you know, I don't make a fortune from the books, but I think that it's important for people to kind of see a different perspective. And I think that's what we offer, and that's what we will continue to offer, is that, you know, so I think any time you are successful at something, there's, if you look at the people and the businesses that are successful, it's not because they copied everybody else. It's because they, you know, the cliche, thought outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
And excuse me, that's what I feel like we do, and I've done, is, like, you know, turn the conventional Wall Street wisdom of buying and holding kind of on its ear a little bit, and give people an opportunity to at least check out something that is not so well known and not something that everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I know you and I talked right before we started the interview, and, you know, you're very much into technical analysis and fundamental stuff, and I think that's great, and there's definitely a use for it, and we use it, but I think that, you know, my goal is always, like, to take it a little bit further, you know, and if
right,
you have...
Right. What I was going to ask you right there, you know, just the strategy itself, how much of it is fundamental, and how much of it is technical? Is there a way you could break it down?
Well, fundamental, we don't really deal that much with fundamentals. You know, we deal with trends, so we're really playing the market based on human psychology.
Gotcha.
And, you know, when you think about the fundamentals and you talk about, you know, and that's what most analysts do, you know, they break it down and they say, well, this stock is trading at such and such a PE, and it has a 30% growth rate year over year, and yada, 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 and that's all well and good, and I'm not discounting that at all. But my point is always that historically in the market, when things are going well in the economy and people have money and, you know, people have earnings growth, then the P.E. ratios on the S&P and every other index across the board go sky high. And when people are struggling, and the opposite is true, then the opposite is true in the market, and then you hear people talk about, well, the P.E. ratios are at historical lows. You know, and, you know, so I think if you can my thing has always been to figure out where people are, you know, from a psychology bent, and then you can be one step ahead of that curve. You know, I mean, a rally happens, generally speaking, before the fundamentals catch up, because it's you know, people like to get in before, and you know, we like to project positive into the future. And conversely, when the market tanks, generally speaking, it tanks before the economy does.
Right, but let me jump in. I want you to touch on something where I know you can help people right here on this point before we run out of time. This is important.
Right. So
when you have a certain point of view and things go against you, this is what I believe happened: is the day traders panicked and forgot to sell.
Right.
Help people learn. You know, talk about if you have a predisposition and things go against you, how you have the ability to turn on a dime and make sure you don't get stuck. That's real important.
It's very important. It's probably the most important thing you can learn. I mean, money management is key in any business, and the same holds true in investing or trading, in that if you're not willing to take a loss, then you will never succeed in any business. It's impossible, because whether you run a candy store on the corner, you know, you still have to monitor what candy is selling better than other candy. Mm-hmm. And if you stock your candy store with all the candy that none of the kids like, then nobody's going to come into your candy store anymore, you know. And so in the stock market, whether you're a trader or investor, if you are not monitoring your investments or your trading and you're taking losses, you know, your boat is taking water, you're going to sink. And so, you know, what we are big proponents of, using stop losses. We always say plan your trade, trade your plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you take the emotion out. And again, you know, emotions are what ruins investors. You know, we've seen it countless times in the history of the stock market. People build up enormous sums of wealth, and then in a very short period of time, because the market historically falls much faster than it rises. So, you know, the market will crash and burn, and, you know, next thing you know, those people who spent 20 years building up a retirement fund, you know, they're 401ks or now they're 201ks,
right,
you know, and or worse, there is no
right.
K.
Mike, that's just where I wanted you to go. I wanted you to talk about handling that emotion, not getting stuck on the emotional side, and then making excuses, which I whole think would part of your whole thing about power trading, power living, no excuses.
Well, if you take the emotional component out of things,
Mike, I got to interrupt you. I want you to give them, tell them where they can find you.
Okay. You can find me at www.trendfund.com, TrendFund.com, or trendtradingtowin.com. And you can buy the books, both of them, on Amazon.com, Power Trading, Power Living, and Rule the Freaking Markets. And, of course, you have my name, Michael Parnes. And I wish everybody the best.
Hey, Mike, have a great holiday. Awesome having you on. Pleasure to meet you. I know you're living in my old Upper West Side now. Folks, you are listening to Voice America Business. I'm Jordan Kimmel. We'll be right back with more profitable investing after this quick break.
At the Magnet Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now and never make a bad investment again. 1-973-895-4444. The Magnet Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
Think you've got a grip on the profit potential your property has? Tune in to VoiceAmerica.com Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for Commercial Real Estate 101 with Dennis Manning. Dennis will teach you the ins and outs of the massive world of real estate. You will learn the rewards and pitfalls of why to invest in commercial real estate. You'll also hear from experts in property management, lending, title work, tax-deferred exchanges, legal issues, and many entrepreneurial investors. The best part? You'll learn to generate a regular income that'll lead to enticing capital gains. So don't miss one moment of Commercial Real Estate 101 with Dennis Manning, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, the Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, the Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Welcome back to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to be a caller on the show, dial toll-free at 1-888-766-6828. Now please welcome back the host of Profitable Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
Alrighty, and welcome back everybody to yet another segment of Profitable Investing with me, your host Jordan Kimmel. We have another excellent guest lined up. I'm not sure if he's with us quite yet. Alex, you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, great. Dr. Weiss, thanks for joining us. We have right now Dr. Weiss on the phone, and Dr. Weiss is the CEO of OncoVista, and this is a company that was introduced to me by an entrepreneur I've met and known for a while. So let me first welcome you on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate to be on the show.
Well, we're happy to have you. First of all, let's start from the very beginning. Why don't you give us a little background on yourself? You know, I run a program called Magnet. The M stands for management. Nobody's more important than the guy running the show. Why don't you just give us a little background on yourself and your expertise?
All right. In a nutshell, I'm an organic chemist, PhD in organic chemistry, who studied in pharmaceutical business in the United States about 20 years ago. I wanted to learn the business. I never made a penny as a professor. I wanted to figure out how to make money.
Okay.
I worked for Eastman Pharmaceutical, Sterling Drugs. Came to San Antonio in 1991 as associate director for the Cancer Center and tried to vertically integrate the Cancer Center, build a new institute for drug development, and spinned off Ilex Oncology. I was a co-founder, chief scientific officer, executive vice president of Ilex Oncology, which was a oncology drug development company, rather successful. Last year was acquired by Genzyme for over $1 billion.
Right, so you figured out how to make a dollar out of it after all, didn't you?
Areas of drug development as well as in oncology.
Uh-huh.
So we're doing, I have hands-on experience on all phases of preclinical and clinical development and obviously work with regulatory groups. And this in general describes actually
That's
my
perfect.
Background and expertise. I can add that I'm also a fellow of Royal Society of Chemistry, Entrepreneur of the Year 1996, I think, of South Texas. And that's it.
That's perfect. That's what we wanted to hear from you. Now, I noticed that, I know from talking to your associates who share with me your own history, which is why we've had you on, I know that your near and dear is the whole quality of life for patients with cancer and treatment. This, unfortunately, is near and dear to way too many people. Can you share with us, what the focus of OncoVista is?
Let me start, before I will go on focus of OncoVista, my personal experience in oncology.
Okay.
I was developing a number of drugs for years, and obviously I was exposed to patients on the rounds, and I saw a lot of misery, and a lot of anti-cancer drugs currently in practice are rather strong poisons and sometimes even make more damage than the tumor.
Okay.
Obviously, the patients not only lose weight and hair and depress, but they also depress everybody around them. The quality of life is very low. And my philosophy from the very beginning was that everybody will die, but we would like to die happy.
Wonderful.
Quality
okay.
of life is a very important point. And afterwards, coming back to Oncovista's focus, we were starting to ask questions. Why most of the drugs currently on the market, highly toxic, work only on the 40% of population and 60% do not respond? And most of the literature we're reading, it's about the clinical trials and responders. What about the 60%, which is larger than responders, why they do not respond? As well as if a patient responds, there are three types of responses. It's a complete response, which is you cured and you're lucky. Partial response, which your tumor size went down, and so it looks like you're on the right avenue or alley of treatment, and stable diseases, which is the tumor is still there, but it doesn't grow, and obviously you have a better prognosis than people who do not have a stable disease. And we started to focus on what is different in these cancer patients who are not responding, as well as people who develop drug resistance to cancer treatment, and they're terminal because of that. And it was very interesting to find that there are several very bold differences which are current targets of Oncovista, and hopefully in the next couple of years we'll be in clinical trials with new drugs which will be efficacious in hopefully 9 of 10 patients, if not 10 of 10. That's one side of Oncovista. The second, we obviously see the toxicity. And toxicity is driven by selectivity of normal cells versus cancer cells. So when you have a toxic effect, it means that when you are trying to cure cancer, you also influence our normal cells and normal pathways. How to eliminate that? And we found a class of compounds which allows us to use conjugates of very toxic drugs and detoxify them, and they go only in the cancer cells, so they have very high selectivity. And the future obviously lies in the specific delivery of drugs to cancer without influencing normal cells. Now, it's very tough to do because if you have an oral drug or IV drug, it has to go through the system, has to go through liver filter and so on, and afterwards have to find cancer and do not touch normal cells. The advances in nanotechnology shed light and really have a light at the end of the tunnel for specific drug delivery, as well as we have a new technology, we call them the L-nucleoside conjugate technology, which allows us to see that we can use much lower doses of the toxic drugs, having the same efficacy, no side effects today.
Interesting. So what you're doing here, and again, I think your initial comment was a wonderful comment about, you know, unfortunately, the different chemotherapies that seem to cause, you know, such awful side effects. What you're saying is you're not looking to cure cancer, you're looking to treat cancer, and maybe by shrinking the tumors, or you're looking to eliminate it too, or shrink the tumors?
I think that ultimately we would love to cure cancer, but that's an ideal goal, and let's be realistic. If we would be able to help people to prolong their life,
mm-hmm.
have a good quality of life, and be tumor-free or live with, you know, again, I have to give you a short comment here. Most of the cancer patients, they do not die from primary tumors.
Okay.
They die from metastatic disease to their vital organs.
Okay.
And if we can prevent that or extend their lifespan with good quality of life, I think our mission is accomplished at this stage. The ultimate goal, yes, we would like to eradicate cancer. And actually, NCI made a very strong statement that in the next 10 years, we would be able to harness cancer and eliminate deaths from cancer. I think it's a little bit strong statement, but we're all trying to do that.
Right. No, I appreciate the fact that the amount of money and time and the amount of dead ends, frankly, that people are willing to go through to get there. I mean, there'll be other social illnesses of if cancer was cured, what are we going to do with all the people? But the reality is, what I want to share with you is I know how much money is going into this. I want to ask you specifically from a financial point of view. I know OncoVista is currently privately held.
Yes.
There's so much money, I guess, that needs to go to develop money for research. Is there plans to bring this public, or what's the business plan for OncoVista other than the social plan of helping people live with cancer and live longer? You know, I know you've made a lot of money already. You did figure out that problem you had as a professor, how to make money. I know you've been very successful already. What's the business plan with OncoVista?
The OncoVista has a rather aggressive plan, and we committed for being a public company, and we expect to be publicly traded before end of the year this year.
This year, wow, okay.
So that is our plan, and I can dwell more about the details.
No, I understand it, and let me share with you what we do on our show, Dr. Weiss, is we're not here talking about hot stocks and promoting the hot stock of the day. I want to, you know, just take an extra point to realize a lot of investments in cancer or anti-cancer drugs have always been my Achilles heel, because these companies do not have revenue and they do not have margins yet, and they are simply, they don't work with the magnet stock selection process that I, you know, use most. But what's very important, what I believe in, is the entrepreneur, the guy who's out there with his own money, spending his own money, to be the largest shareholder or to hold a large controlling portion. These are usually the companies where great things come from, where great differences are made. So I greatly appreciate, you know, your time visiting on the show. Is there anything else? Maybe we have a couple minutes left. If there's anything else maybe you'd like to share in particular, and then I also want you to give people some contact information if they want to maybe read some of your research or find out more about you. Add whatever you'd like and give them your contact information.
No problem. First of all, let me comment on your comment about the cancer space. And obviously, without revenue and proper net present value, it's very hard to give a valuation for a company or
right.
Invest in the company. But high risk usually comes with high reward.
Mm-hmm.
If you will just take one simple formula, that taxanes, which are one of the largest drugs on the market in cancer, Taxol and Taxotere, they made $5.7 billion revenue last year, according to marketing sources.
Mm-hmm.
And they work only on 30% of population. Now, imagine if we will be curing 9 of 10, we will have a new derivative which will complement taxanes, and what is the market potential of that.
Right.
And it could be, you will see hopefully this in 2 to 3 years. So
I certainly do. Listen, I hear music in the background. That's
company.
Your cue. If you don't give me contact information, we'll run out of time.
I'm sorry. You wanted to tell...
Is there any place where they can contact you or find out more about you?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
World-class clinical advisory board, expertise in rapid development, and I want to reiterate that the focus of the company is non-toxic, highly efficacious drugs for improvement of quality of life. Our contact info is info@oncovista.com, or it could be my name, alex.weiss, W-E-I-S, @oncovista.com.
Fantastic. Listen, let me wish you a good holiday. We appreciate you being on the show. I really do appreciate your time. You have been listening to Voice America Business. I am Jordan Kimmel. We'll be right back with more profitable investing after this quick break.
At the Magnet Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now and never make a bad investment again. 1-973-895-4444. The Magnet Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
Win with effective marketing. Win with proper positioning and branding. Win with Dick McDonald on his show Win-Win Marketing for Buyers and Sellers every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, we will discuss the challenges and common mistakes made in today's industry while providing you insight on what you can do to avoid these pitfalls. Get ahead with effective marketing in today's world. Listen to Win-Win Marketing for Sellers and Buyers with Dick McDonald, heard every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, here on the Bottom Line of Business, BusinessAmericaRadio.com. You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, the Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, the Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guests, dial toll-free at 1-888-766-6828. Once again, that number is 1-888-766-6828. Let's get back to another segment of Profitable Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everybody, to another segment of Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And I don't know about you folks, I enjoyed this show. I enjoyed just doing this show. We had some great, great guests on already. I want to kind of always, like I do, take a step back and summarize what I heard. I think we heard some great things. First of all, the theme that ran through both Tim Lutz from his Cabot newsletter, which I thoroughly enjoy, and Michael Parness, is the concept of controlling your emotions and figuring out how to invest without sitting there and letting fear and greed dominate your mindset. This is exactly how you lose money. What has happened years ago, there are a whole lot of people who showed up talking, like Michael does, about trading technically. The difference from what Michael does is that when he's wrong, there's no ego involved, and he leaves town on the trade. What happened years ago was a lot of day traders showed up. They were looking at charts. They paid little attention to fundamental. The way they got in trouble was letting their ego involve and forgetting when to sell. Much more important to me, doesn't make it necessarily better, although I believe you should always first use something like what we use, Magnet, our stock selection process, which gives us a superior advantage, I think, by finding the best companies out there, and not
necessarily trading them as actively. One of the reasons I had Tim on the show is, as our clients are well aware, we have had over the last several years a couple of what our own heritage stocks that literally can and have changed people's income brackets. And by allowing your investments to, I call it mature, to breathe, maybe like wine, once you get the first double and then the second double, if you're lucky enough to get that third and fourth double and still have your money in, what you've done is you've cut down on your trading costs, you've cut down on your taxes. In the end, what we'd love to see our clients do is give certain a portion of their account away to charity. And what I will share with you, you know, here at Magnet, not only have we been fortunate enough to be on the right side of the market, we've been fortunate enough with our stock selection process. If anybody out there would like a list of what our top-ranked current stocks are, I'll offer you to give us a call at 888-766-6828. That's our internal office, or find us on the net at magnetinvesting.com. One of the other things I like to suggest is people take their own portfolio and absolutely complimentary. You don't even have to tell us how many shares you own or what price you bought them at. Have your own company scored out according to Magnet. Maybe you want to even look at the top-ranked stocks in the sector where you're currently concentrated. But number one, in my opinion, folks, is stock selection. And let me just talk about the market real quickly, because I always want to do that too. What we will see later on the day will probably be, I think it's now the ninth consecutive interest rate hike by the Fed, taking us off life support, still leaving us at historically low rates of return, where the bond market still is not quite competition for the stock market. So I do believe the stock market is still the place to be, although I will urge everyone, not all the stocks and not the S&P blind, but the top stocks in the market. What we're going to see, and I've kind of talked about this the last several weeks, we are marching along the way to what's called a flat yield curve. It's about to get inverted. Whenever we see an inverted yield curve, the politicians will tell us a recession is not on the way. Invariably, it will be. So what that will mean will be a slowdown in earnings. You'll begin to see some of the headlines get more negative, and your stock selection is going to be that much more important. I read an interesting article today talking about the actual tonnage in air cargo down significantly. They were attributing it primarily to high oil prices, but it's a combination. We've already had a long bull market off the bottom in the fall of 2002. Historically, folks, you should have made a fair amount of money over the last 2 years. If you used the right stock selection and were in the right industries, you did. So very, very important to me is sharing a message that Tim shared earlier from Cabot Newsletter. I am not of the belief that everything goes up long-term and you should be a dyed-in-the-wool bull and always have your money fully invested. More to the point is, if a stock is not a good company in terms of its Magnet ranking and it's no longer leading the market or leading its sector, it's time to either move to cash or move to a new stock. That's probably one of the most important messages that we shared with you from Tim. I love the philosophy, as long as a stock keeps working, as long as the earnings and margins and cash flow continue to hit the bottom line, we can stay in a stock for years, and we have, and we will. When that discontinues, it's time simply to move on. That's the Magnet stock selection methodology. We're using our quantitative model to sort and find and screen the very best stocks that are out there. And I'll share with you, despite my own internal feelings that the market's going to get tougher, we just scored out our top-ranked stocks that we quantitatively derived from last month. They were emailed over to me, I believe, That list outperformed the broad market by 3 times over this last month, where the market is starting to get frustrated. So I'll urge everyone, if you want to get your hands on the list, you have to contact us. We'd love to help you. I love to educate over the phone. We'd also love to help you individually. So let me go on to what's going to be on our next show, which I'm really looking forward to. Again, we've lined up some amazing guests. Guests around the country are hearing about your listening, your involvement, and the nature and the stature of our guests are just improving. Next week, I mentioned the book Lessons of the Greatest Stock Traders of All Time by John Boyk. It's probably the best read that's out there this year. John will be joining us next week talking about different stock selection processes and profiles of five of the greats. My personal goal, folks, maybe John does another book in the future, and Magna stock selection process sneaks in there. It's important to have those kind of goals. Also, we're going to be joined by Bruce Scrambler, and Bruce is an interesting gentleman I met years ago who is an oil specialist out from Oklahoma. He asked that we call this sports and oil stocks. I'm very interested to hear what he's got to say. So I'm very interested. By the time we talk and we have our show next week, it's a near certainty, folks. I'll call it. It's already in the books. We will have another Fed interest rate rise. The market is hoping the Fed turns down its talk for future hikes. I don't count on that. We are seeing inflation out there, although it's measured by some other people. Some big concert tickets went on sale for New York City. You'd be amazed that Rolling Stone tickets, folks, are now $450 for floor seats. So if there's no inflation, I'm not sure where it is. But let me wish everybody a very healthy and happy 4th of July weekend. It's time to celebrate. I hope you have a great barbecue. Enjoy your family. It's been my pleasure again joining you for another segment of Profitable Investing. Folks, have a profitable week. It's Jordan Kimmel signing off. Wishing you healthy profits. See you here same time next week.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in each and every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for another exciting hour of profitable investing. Right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Did you realize that most states in our country